Here are the WGXC headlines for Monday, March 20th. Law enforcement officials report there have been some online threats in the wake of former President Donald Trump claiming that he will be arrested Tuesday, and messages have included calls for armed protesters to block law enforcement officers and attempt to stop any potential arrest. The International Criminal Court said on March 17th that it has issued an arrest warrant for Russian President Vladimir Putin for war crimes, accusing him of personal responsibility for the abductions of children from Ukraine. Chinese President Xi Jinping visits Russia from Monday to Wednesday in a show of support for Putin, who invaded Ukraine a year ago. There are local elections Tuesday, including voting in Coxsackie, Catskill, Athens, Hunter, and Tannersville. Kingston officials say they plan on appealing a court ruling against the city's 15% rent reduction plan. Dutchess County Sheriff's deputies started wearing body-worn cameras on March 18th. And spring arrives at 5:24 p.m. on Monday, March 20th.
Hello, you're listening to WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy show for you today. We were going to hear from Vanessa Arcara, who is a co-founder of The Third Act, along with Bill McKibben, and she lives in Rensselaer County. She speaks with WOOC's Mark Dunley about the Tuesday, March 21st, national protest called Tell Banks to Stop Financing Fossil Fuels, taking place in Albany as well as around the country, and we'll hear all about that protest that is tomorrow, March 21st. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin has finished singing this song. And then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of SJ of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Monday, March 20th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Mid-Hudson News reports that some of the New York reaction to former President Donald Trump claiming on March 18th that he would be arrested on March 21st. Trump says he will be arrested for the alleged $130,000 hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels just before the 2016 presidential election. Republican Representative Elise Stefanik seemed to say that Trump was leaking the news, which she called, quote, illegal, unquote. But then she went on to attack the independent investigation of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. On March 18th, New York State Republican Party Chair Ed Cox released a statement misspelling Manhattan twice and saying, quote, "This is a blatant political scheme by Alvin Bragg to play his liberal Manhattan base by smearing, tearing down, and demeaning former President Trump," unquote. Michael Dupree, the chair of the Dutchess County Democratic Committee, responded saying, quote, "Ed Cox should know that no one is above the law, and he should know how to spell, too," unquote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Zach Fink reports at New York State of Politics that State Senator Liz Krueger, a Manhattan Democrat, is blaming former Governor Andrew Cuomo for the slow rollout of cannabis retail stores in the state. Recreational cannabis was legalized in April 2021, but the first store only opened at the very end of 2022 in Manhattan. Since then, another store has opened in New York City and two others in Binghamton and Ithaca. A lawsuit is blocking any from opening in five regions of the state, including the Hudson Valley. Quote, "I do believe part of the problem here is we passed the law, but we had a governor called Andrew Cuomo who didn't start the agency and get rolling. So people were sitting there going, where are you? Where are you? And we were trying to get him to do something and he wasn't," unquote. Now lawmakers in Albany are already considering changing the cannabis laws. Democratic Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, a Buffalo Democrat, said, quote, "I wouldn't characterize it as an overhaul, but I would characterize it as some necessary tweaking," unquote. The Democrats want to crack down on illegal sales and simplify some regulations and taxes to get more stores open. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. WNYT reports for the Centers that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says Lyme disease isn't the only reason to avoid tick bites. Babesiosis is another tick-borne disease that can be fatal in rare cases and is becoming more prevalent in the Northeast. The symptoms of babesiosis include fever, chills, sweats, headaches, body aches, nausea, fatigue, or muscle and joint pain, and there is a fatality rate of around 1 to 2%. Scientists are concerned because cases in Vermont rose 17-fold over the last decade. Read more about this story at WNYT. And WNYT in Albany reports that Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band have rescheduled a recently postponed Albany performance at the MVP Arena to Tuesday, September 19th. The band was originally set to perform March 14th, but was rescheduled due to a band illness, which coincided with a major local snowstorm. Read more about this story at the WNYT website, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, March 20th. We are 21.6% of the way through the year, and there are 0 days left until spring. Bears are waking up. Time for some of you to put the bird feeders away, and that is to spite the fact that all sorts of birds are showing up for the season, from blackbirds to raptors to robins. Make sure to maintenance those lawnmowers and weed trimmers as well, because you're going to need them soon. Local early morning temperatures range from 14 degrees in Steffentown to 27 in Red Hook. And yes, we do have a new human-made snow observation within the last 24 hours of 1 inch in Lexington and 1 inch in Petersburg. With sensors 5 centimeters down in the soil, regional average temperature is 35 degrees. 50 is the target for planting, and the watch has begun. This year, resolution is higher, so we should be able to identify the planting horizon as it passes over the region. As an example, currently the only place in New York above 40 degrees is one small spot on Long Island. Up here in our neck of the woods, grab your sunglasses. It will be a sunny but chilly day. A high of 52 happens at 3 p.m. Don't forget to keep layering up. Overnight, we dip to 29 degrees. Then tomorrow, a high of 58, but winds keep it feeling chilly. 33 degrees overnight takes us into a mostly dry Wednesday with a high of 57. Then, some light rain chances in the afternoon. Those chances continue overnight as temperatures fall to 44 degrees. Thursday, still looking wet with a high of 59. Today's river temperature will be 38.12 degrees, and today's tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:52 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:55 a.m. Take a look at our Telegram channel for more stuff, including the Hudson River Almanac. Just look for the Better Weather. Looking way up, we see incoming coronal mass ejection tonight or tomorrow could cause some G1 class magnetic storms. And wind flowing from a big coronal hole this morning is expected to arrive on Wednesday. Solar wind speed is currently 426.9 kilometers per second at 5.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 73. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wow! What a graduation!
I'll say!
But with college behind us, we'll need careers. And good ones.
What about chestnut roasting? People always need chestnuts.
Or begging. I know a place that'll saw your legs off.
Slow down, fellas. I've got a way we can keep our legs and still have a bright future.
Now you're dreaming.
Oh, am I?
Of course! Nuclear power!
It's the job of tomorrow. Today!
Really?
Well, that settles it. For all those reasons and more, let us choose an electrifying career in
nuclear power.
When a man's an empty kettle, he should be on his mettle, and yet I'm torn apart. Just because I'm presuming that I could be kinda human if I only had a heart. I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awful sentimental regarding love and art. I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows if I only had a heart. Picture me a balcony above, a voice sings low.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I hear a beat. How sweet, just to register emotion, jealousy, devotion, and really feel the part. I could stay young and chipper, and I'd lock it with a zipper, if I only had a heart.
That was from the soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz. It turns out two local troubadours have other views about hearts. Here's Catskill's Brian DeWan with The Human Heart, and the Magnetic Fields with I Think I Need a New Heart.
In our day-to-day experience, it has always been concealed. In the operating theater, it now may be revealed. I saw the glistening human heart lying in repose, so tender and so vulnerable, beating and exposed. The human heart is a lustrous thing, a wondrous thing, the human heart. Look at the patient lying open wide. It cannot hide the human heart. It has a passionate temperament, as everybody knows, gushing grandiose sentiments as a toilet overflows, throwing violent tantrums and prone to fits of rage. It can't keep still, it rolls around in its rib cage. The human heart is a preposterous thing, a monstrous thing, human heart. Enlisting sympathy with vulgar sobs, it pounds and throbs, the human heart. And yet it lives for love and duty at its own behest, a lifetime through of work to do, with ne'er a moment's rest, sustaining vital organs, anointing them with blood, devout its vocation, a vital organ hoard. The human heart is an untiring thing, uninspiring thing, the human heart. Despite the heartaches of the rolling years, it perseveres, the human heart. What strange abomination holds fancy over fact? What Byzantine mutation would love what can't love back? What kind of freak of nature forgives a heinous crime and leads us towards as yet untraveled paths to the sublime? Human heart is an inscrutable thing, an immutable thing, the human heart. The human heart is an untiring thing, an inspiring thing, a preposterous thing, a monstrous thing, a lustrous thing, a wondrous thing, the human heart.
still. All I can feel is the time standing still as you put down the keys and say, don't call me, please. While the radio plays, I think I need a new
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
They're brewing a legal cocktail, Tony, to try to come up with some bizarre theory of the law never used by anybody in New York just because they hate Trump. You know why they're doing this? Because they're afraid of Trump. That's why they're doing it.
Speaking at the Conservative Vision 24 gathering, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says an arrest will just stoke the fire of former President Donald Trump's 2024 campaign. Trump says he expects the Manhattan District Attorney's Office to arrest him Tuesday for making hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels in 2016. In language some have compared to the run-up to the Capitol riot, Trump is calling for protests. A recent Quinnipiac poll found the former president still leads the pack in the primary, with nearly half of Republicans supporting him. A Monmouth University poll last year found 6 in 10 Republicans believe President Joe Biden won the 2020 election due to voter fraud. And based on a list assembled by the Washington Post, nearly 170 election deniers won statewide or congressional office last year. During a conference on threats to American democracy, UCLA law professor Rick Hassan said election conspiracy theories have become deeply entrenched in the party.
Election deniers won office in non-swing states, and many are in Congress. Local election officials have shared voting machine code with conspiracy theorists, and some local election boards have tried to require the hand count of ballots or refuse to certify election results.
Also Tuesday, environmental group Third Act plans nationwide protests against investments in fossil fuels. According to the Rainforest Action Network, large banks have put $4.5 trillion in those industries since the signing of the Paris Climate Agreement. Vanessa Arcara with Third Act notes JPMorgan Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America have some of the largest holdings.
These four banks alone have provided well over $1 trillion in lending and underwriting to the fossil fuel companies that build things like new coal plants, fracking wells, gas export terminals, and more.
The Virginia Department of Environmental Quality's decision to fine Norfolk Southern less than $30,000 over a 2020 derailment has infuriated environmental groups there. The town of Salem's drinking water system had to halt operation for over a month when 16 coal cars spilled almost 1,400 tons of coal into the Roanoke River. Tim Sawinski with the Sierra Club of Virginia says the DEQ's fine won't stop it from happening again.
The response is disheartening because it doesn't have any implications of deterrence. There is no excuse for Norfolk Southern not to create more violations in the future if there's such a lackluster punishment, if you can even call it that.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We've got updates on bills in Idaho and Wyoming we've covered recently, both of which make it harder for certain groups of citizens to vote, and one of which spawned 2 lawsuits. We told you earlier about an attempt to remove student IDs as a valid form of identification for elections in Idaho, something happening around the country. HB 124 was signed March 15th by Governor Brad Little and now restricts valid voting ID to a state-issued voting ID card, Idaho driver's license, federal photo ID, tribal ID, or firearms permit. The Idaho Statesman reports that within 2 days, lawsuits were filed by 2 voting advocacy groups representing young voters and claiming the bill unconstitutionally discriminated against student voters. 2 other anti-voter bills are pending in the Idaho legislature, including HB 126, limiting the acceptable documents when registering to vote, affecting poor and tribal voters, and HB 137, which blocks the use of a sworn affidavit when a voter doesn't have an ID. State data shows 2,400 voters used an affidavit in 2022. Meanwhile, in Wyoming, a bill restricting primary crossover voting passed the legislature and will become law without Governor Mark Gordon's signature. HB 103 requires voters changing party affiliation to do so at the candidate filing deadline, realistically before the public actually knows who is officially running. We have articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, we hear 2021 music from Riley Walker. The song is Rang Dizzy from the Course in Fable album.
Stuck laughing, never abroad, and I'm chewing on a Lucy, dragon brain dream, you choosing. Folks dodging, singing karaoke of credit, blank center my scope, walls of your apartment, square footage with my hands and I am sightless, dealer shuffle, Zen gardens in the card deck. I'm wise, I'm so fried, brain dizzy inside. Iron curls up a thing for me, presented to the crowd, remains invited me. Sucker full, fossilized purple bruising, I inhaled pure carbon like a movie. Each Wednesday, load my boot up with a beast, state flag and newsprint, optics take the lead. Snapshot of long form winded by the breeze. Fake gas pump for photo opportunities. I'm wise. I'm so fried. Brain dizzy inside.
All duties paid to the Uncle Sam of losing my ship. We on a nickname basis, but social setting the lighthouse. I extend my hand to all probable possibilities that I may be baptized in seltzer made from glaciers. As cherry water runs down my spine, I recall coupon codes for minimum wage jobs, unionized by labor kept in sheepskin, saving up for tires that light up when you drive them. She was a real cool hand in the icy figure eight. My dreams were projected on national monuments. I sat along wondering, should I dose again or just break into song with Illinois flowers?
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking today with Vanessa Arcara, who is the president and co-founder of the Third Act, which is a national climate advocacy group. Bill McKibben's one of the other co-founders. And they are the lead sponsor of the March 21st National Day of Action, focusing on the need to get banks to stop finance and fossil fuels. And there'll be a big rally march in the city of Albany at noon, starting at Maiden Lane and Broadway Avenue, and then visiting three of the banks. So, Vanessa, what led you to start the Third Act, and what do you hope the Third Act's going to accomplish?
Well, first, Mark, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure. And for asking about Third Act. So Bill McKibben and I started Third Act December of 2021, both of us having spent a lot of time working in climate change and the climate movement. And at event after event after event for years and years, we noticed and really cherished the incredibly central contributions of folks over the age of 60, wherever we went, all of the events that were being organized, whether it was around climate justice or, mutual aid or what have you. There's been such a powerful emphasis and burgeoning of youth justice-led movements in the past 10 years, and they've been providing incredible leadership, all credit due. And we just kept thinking to ourselves, there aren't a lot of groups that are speaking specifically to Americans on the other end of the age spectrum who are over 60. And the more and more we thought about that idea, we realized how powerful it would be to call in the skills and the passion, the experience of folks over 60 in the U.S. to really throw down and help support our movements, not only to protect our climate, but to defend our democracy, which is increasingly under attack.
Now, I was a member of the steering committee of 315 New York City when Bill McKibben, I think back in 2012, launched his Do the Math tour, which is basically, in order to avoid climate collapse, you had to keep 80% of the existing fossil fuel resources in the ground, and that led to the whole divestment campaign. And I helped coordinate the campaign to get both New York City and New York State to divest from fossil fuels. But now the Third Act has moved on to banks. So why banks and climate change?
Put simply, we are becoming increasingly aware of the direct connection between cash and carbon. So the biggest four banks in the United States are also the four biggest financiers of the fossil fuel industry and the expansion of fossil fuel infrastructure in the world. It's a story that we need to mainstream because we know now that the cash that people have in their bank accounts, if you are, if you're in, have accounts with Chase or Bank of America, Wells Fargo or Citibank, is often a person's single biggest source of carbon emissions. Folks don't know yet to be thinking about where they're storing their money as potentially being a big part of their own carbon footprint. But we know that that's true. And for larger accounts and companies like Apple or Netflix, the cash that they have in these accounts with these banks are producing more carbon pollution than any of their own business activities. So it's really significant. It's a really big part of the story. And so we are trying increasingly, and especially on Tuesday, March 21st, to make sure that everyone has this information and understands what they can do about it.
Now, if you had told us when we started the anti-divestment campaign, 10 years ago, that we were going to get $40 trillion worth of assets to divest from fossil fuels, we wouldn't have believed you. So it's been quite successful, but many of the groups have moved on. A lot of them have worked with the Stop the Money pipeline and particularly focusing on various financial institutions, including insurance companies, but also, banks. How have banks been responding to this pressure? Because it seems like since the Paris Climate Accords back in 2015, they still are putting more money into fossil fuel expansion.
That's right. I mean, and you wouldn't know it if you looked at any of their social media accounts, because they paint themselves to be, oh so green and oh so responsible around climate, and they're making this and that commitment. But the truth is, these banks did not need Donald Trump's help to sabotage the Paris Climate Accord. Since it was signed, they have provided well over $1 trillion in underwriting and in lending to the fossil fuel industry that's building out and expanding new fossil fuel infrastructure. So how are they responding? They're putting their money into keeping this industry alive. And it's not just alive in the present or in the near-term future. Every one of these new fossil fuel infrastructure projects that gets built locks us in to decades of the status quo and a dirty energy economy. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, I will note earlier this week, I got a email from Public Citizen asking groups in New York to sign on to their effort to get the Department of Financial Services in New York to put a little bit more stringent regulations or monitoring on the banks in terms of its relationship to finance and fossil fuels. I believe it's probably the first state really looking at that. But besides, the day of action, and I guess it's almost 100 or more events taking place in the United States, what will be sort of the follow-up after next Tuesday?
Yeah, and Mark, I'm glad that you mentioned the divestment movement, because in some ways it's a similar playbook, right? We have been working at Third Act and with our partner organizations for about a year now to, make sure that folks increasingly know about the connections between their cash and carbon. And that's important, but we're not foolish enough to think that one person, closing their account with JP Morgan Chase at a time is going to do anything to hurt the bank's bottom line. And so the next phase of all of this is escalating to organizing our larger institutions with much larger accounts to make commitments to be moving away from these banks as well. And forces combined, we know that, ultimately has the power to get their attention, not only because the accounts are much bigger, but because we need to just be making so much more noise and efforts to, revoke the social license of these banks to essentially work as external arms of the fossil fuel industry. So we'll be doing a lot of escalation into much larger institutions with much larger accounts.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left. I mean, actually, what you just pointed out makes me think about, hey, where does New York State put their money in? But, both what can individuals perhaps do in terms of their own financial investments? And, how can people, get more information about what Third Act is doing and also about the role of banks and other financial institutions in fossil fuels in 90 seconds.
Great. Yeah. I mean, folks are welcome to visit our website, which is thirdact.org. We have loads of resources at our site about how to find out, you know, which banks are not investing in the fossil fuel industry and credit cards too. So that's a good place to start. A perfect place to start is to come on out to one of our actions. You mentioned a few moments ago that there's going to be over 100 actions next Tuesday on the 21st all around the country. You know, one of the best things you can do as an individual is to be a little bit less of an individual. So come on out and join us. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a lot of fun. It should be a really powerful day.
Well, in Albany, it's at Maiden Lane and Broadway, the walkway over there to the Quantum Reserve. And it's at noon. And we're going to have a bunch of speakers, a lot of people from the faith community. I think it's Mountains and Rivers Green Faith, but dozens and dozens of communities, some frontline speakers, Mert Simpson, some youth speakers, be some music. I think some of the members of the Red Brigade are going to be there, and that will be at noon. And we've been talking with Vanessa Arcara, who is the president and co-founder of Third Act, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Thank you.
New York disability rights advocates are calling for the age cap on the state's Medicaid buy-in program to be raised or eliminated. The program is designed for people with disabilities who work and earn more than would be allowable to qualify for regular Medicaid. This ensures people with disabilities won't be at risk of losing vital health care coverage while still earning some income. The age cap of 65 could cause people to lose coverage they need to get ready for the day. Heidi Siegfried with the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York describes the challenges people can face once they reach the program's age limit.
If they can't get home care, for example, like I would need home care to help you transfer from your bed to your wheelchair or to help you get showered or to help you dress, you wouldn't be able to even get ready to go to work. You would reach age 65, not have access to home care, and you would probably have to quit your job.
She says people would have to quit working so they can have access to Medicaid services to ensure they have access to home care. In New York's 2024 budget, Governor Kathy Hochul is allocating $60 million starting in 2025 to expand the program for more people with disabilities to work and still qualify for coverage. One worry people have is as the COVID-19 pandemic comes to an end, Medicaid's continuous coverage protections will end too. This means anyone who aged out of the program during the pandemic will see a loss of coverage once their renewal is up. But Siegfried is hopeful the age limit will be removed once the upcoming budget passes.
If people want to keep working up until whenever, if they enjoy their work and they don't want to retire, they should be able to be productive citizens. Work can often create meaning in your life, especially for people with disabilities.
She notes that people with disabilities don't have high employment rates in the state, with that possibly correlating to a loss in coverage should they go to work. According to a 2022 report, there are 1 million working-age adults with a disability living in New York, but only 33% are employed, compared with the 74% employment rate for working-age adults across the state. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Roger Hennigan-Gilson reports for the Times Union that on March 21st, Coxsackie Village voters will choose between incumbent Republican Mark Evans and Democrat Veronica Foley for mayor. Foley became involved in village politics because of the development of the Newberry Boutique Hotel. The hotel is attached to an event center on the village waterfront and broke village zoning rules and undermined permissions granted by the village planning board, creating more opposition in Coxsackie. The Newberry got a stop work order by the village, but then several residents, including Foley, found it had been built with an extra floor, one of several unapproved variations to the plan. Foley started a newsletter about the building project and eventually other village government news. If she wins the election, Foley says she will continue the newsletter, quote, but on a wider scale, unquote. Evans is up for his 8th term as village mayor. He grew up in Coxsackie and is the vice president of the state telephone company, founded by his great-grandfather. Evans is also a former paramedic and president of Greene County Paramedics. Evans crows about an upgrade of the village's water system and a $3 million state grant to install a water tank to back up the system in case of water main breaks under his watch. And recently, Coxsackie won a $4.5 million New York Forward grant that Evans wants to use to address the local affordable housing crisis. Evans said, quote, I want to try and do everything I can to ensure that my kids, who both graduated the high school here and work in the area, will have a place where they will always be able to afford in Coxsackie, unquote. But Foley believes winning the grant works against Evans because of his administration's lack of transparency. She said that she is concerned that picking the final project list would involve, quote, opaqueness, unquote, from the village, and she pledged open communication and transparency as mayor. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that hunters in Greene County killed 43 bears during the 2022 hunting season. Statewide, hunters killed 1,318 bears. But Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sega said, quote, New York's black bear populations remain robust, particularly in the Catskill and Adirondack regions. Regulated bear hunting is a necessary tool for population management, especially with numbers increasing in recent years. I'm pleased to see hunters across the state logged another successful and safe bear hunting season, unquote. The area of New York that includes Greene, Schoharie, and Delaware and Ulster counties had the largest number of bears harvested per 100 square miles, according to the DEC. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that New York nursing homes will no longer require negative COVID-19 tests for entry, State Department of Health officials announced on March 17th. Acting State Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald said, quote, "Enabling families to visit their loved ones safely remains a priority for the Department of Health. Our new guidance aligns with CMS guidance and recommends that facilities use passive screening, which includes providing visitor and staff education on COVID-19 signs and symptoms and post-instructional signage throughout the facility," unquote. In other words, anything goes now at state nursing homes, and there will be signs. Wearing a face mask and hand washing may be suggested, but not required. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Monday, March 20th. And the renewable weather forecast begins with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says that the Mobil in Palenville has the cheapest gas at $3.35 a gallon. The air quality forecast is a 38 on Monday. The UV index is a 5, which is in the moderate range. The water temperature in the Hudson River is just about 42 degrees, and over the past 10 years on March 20th, it's averaged just about 39 degrees, so we're about 3 degrees warmer than normal in the Hudson River. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Monday with a high of 48 and a west wind 8 to 13 miles per hour. Tonight should be clear with a low around 28 and a west wind 6 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tuesday should also be sunny with a high of 51 and a west wind 7 to 13 miles per hour and a low around 30 at night. Wednesday, isolated showers are possible after 2 p.m. There's a 20% chance. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 53 and a low around 39 forecast Wednesday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Next, we hear a track from the 2003 compilation album, The Shape of Jazz to Come. This is Antipop Consortium with Monstro City.
Midday gravity. Few and far between. The pain leaks from the drips in the ceiling, filling the buckets overflowing with self-pity. Woe was I to ponder why. Reasons are led hand in hand by the smoke of her cigarette, imparting ways like strokes in her hair, gentle against her cheek. Gentle against her cheek. Strokes of her hair, imparting ways like the smoke of her cigarette. Reasons are led astray hand in hand by what was I to ponder why, overflowing with self-pity. Filling the buckets from the drips in the ceiling, the pain leaks few and far between. And the at poem, this started I. Most events of sequence with began discourse to the relevant. Love was there first. Entanglement as itself reconfigured. Soon which love, folly sad, the into turned, turn in. Which entrapment, face we win. Any more here, live, don't love. Irrelevant is, was that love thee so?
Thank you.